Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 20 to 26. But now Christ is risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So far from our text. In Christ Jesus, who is the first fruits of all of those who have fallen asleep, to your fellow redeemed. How does some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? No congregation is perfect in its understanding of the Scriptures, nor perfect in obeying God's will. That goes for our congregation as well. From me, the pastor, on down to you, the members. And the same could be said about the congregation in Corinth. One of the biggest problems that faced the Apostle Paul was the dangerous denial by some of the resurrection of the dead. As we heard the past few weeks in our study of this chapter, Paul countered these doubts and denials by writing this 15th chapter of his first letter to the Corinthians, the resurrection chapter. He began this chapter by riveting the Christians in Corinth's attention upon the things that they had been taught and the things that they believed. Jesus Christ died to pay for their sins. That was not just some chance happening. That was an event that had been prophesied of thousands of years earlier in the Old Testament Scriptures. Jesus the Christ was buried and rose from the dead. That too was not just some chance happening. That was prophesied many thousands of years earlier in the Scriptures. And there also were eyewitnesses. Paul says there were 500 believers who saw Jesus at one time after he rose from the dead before he ascended into heaven. And he said he himself had seen the resurrected Christ in the sky on the way to Damascus. Therefore, Paul states in this chapter, as we heard last week, that to deny the reality of the resurrection is to fly in the face of all reliable, unalterable, and undeniable evidence. Also, Paul says, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, then we're still in our sins. There is no forgiveness. There is no justification. We have nothing to believe in. All of our preaching, all of our faith is empty, vain, useless. We're all liars. Then all who have fallen asleep in Christ and death are lost forever. Thank God that there is more to Christianity than just hope for here on this earth. Paul ended that section, that second section of his chapter 15, and begins the third section with the very same words, the very same verse. We ended it last week with the last verse of our sermon text, and it begins the first verse of this morning's sermon text, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead, has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. Our theme for this third section of Paul's defense of our Savior's resurrection is this: one down, two to go. And the first point is, sin is conquered, Christ is risen. We read verses 21 and 23. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. No one can undo historical evidence. They might deny it, they may not believe it, but unbelief doesn't change the reality of it. Death came into the world. Death is present. Can't deny it. Death was an unnatural event that came into this world, brought into the world by sin. Paul says, for since by man came death, death came through a man. We know that man, Adam. We know the place, the Garden of Eden. We know the action and the event. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, God proclaimed. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Because of that sinful, disobedient act, Adam and also Eve brought into this world the unnatural act of death. Death came into the world and passed upon every single person ever conceived. The next verse, Paul restates this horrible truth. For as in Adam, all die. Sin doesn't just lead to a distant future punishment. Our inherited sinful nature brings all of the corruption that comes with it. As soon as you're born, that baby begins to die. It grows older. It's susceptible to illnesses, diseases, accidents. As we get older, we grow tired and weak. Eventually, our bodies die. That's as sure and as certain as any promise of God. Death came by Adam's sin, and in Adam, all die. And so over the past 6,000 years of history, every single person in the past has died, except for two that we know of. And all those who are living now, if it will last long enough, will also die. The sure and certain assurance of the consequences of sin are all around us. It's reported that every single day, hundreds of thousands of people die in this world. Some might deny that, but denying it, not believing it, doesn't change the reality of it, the fact of it. Yet as certain and as sure as death is, so certain and sure is also the resurrection of the dead. Paul writes, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Again, we know the man, Jesus, the Son of God. We know the place, the empty tomb. We know the action, the event. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was white like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Because of this act, also totally unnatural, a miracle of God's power, sin and death has been conquered. It's the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. All because of Christ's resurrection from the dead. In the next verse, Paul restates, as he did earlier, for as in Adam all die, he now restates, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Even as all die because of sin, and that's universal truth, so also all who are in Christ shall also be made alive. Another universal truth of God's word. and God's promise is sure. So when will that happen? Paul says, but each one in his own order. Christ first, then those who are his. Christ rose only 2,000 years ago. And Christ says those who follow him will follow on the last day of judgment, when Christ comes again. Our bodies and the bodies of all those who believe in him will escape that prison of death, be reunited with their souls, meet the Lord in the air, be gathered together with him, our Savior, who conquered sin and death for us. Our comfort and our security lie in knowing that we are Christ's. We belong to him. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. That's the two to go. The one is, sin has been conquered. Through Christ's resurrection, he conquered sin. He paid for your sins. He paid for my sins. The guilt and punishment of my sins has been paid for in full by Christ's damnation, his death on the cross, and his resurrection from the grave. The two to go are parts 2 and 3 in our text. The enemies of the gospel will be defeated, and death itself will be destroyed. We read in verses 24 and 25. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Then comes the end. Christ's second coming. Not a millennial reign of 1,000 years on this earth, nor of a rapture of all the believers off of this earth, but a coming which will bring to an end all the power, all the authority, all the dominion of all evil. All nations will be brought to an end. All the evils of our society will come to an end. Satan prowling around as a roaring lion to devour us will be brought to an end. In fact, at that one moment when the trumpet sounds, then the curtain will be brought down upon the history of this world. Christ will and must reign, as the scripture declares. When everything has been brought to an end, time and everything else, Christ will hand over his kingdom to his heavenly Father and declare to you and me that gracious invitation, come, blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But unfortunately, all those who rejected Christ and do not believe in him will hear the most horrible words. Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But there's one more event to take place. Paul writes in the last verse of our text, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. As we already heard, death is an enemy that we, man, brought into this earth, into this world, because of our sin. For the believer in Christ, death is not a punishment, but for the believer in Christ, death is still a consequence of our sins. But death's rule over us comes to an end at the return of our Savior King. No more will any of Christ's own die. John tells us in Revelation 21, verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. All this will and must happen because God has promised it in his word, both in the Old as well as the New Testament. One down, two to go. Sin has been conquered because of Christ's resurrection from the dead. And Satan and all evil forces will be brought to an end on the last day of judgment and then death too will be destroyed in the end. But for the believer in Christ, in the end means just the beginning. Just the beginning of real life, of joy and peace and blessedness and everlasting life with Christ. Praise be to God. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.